This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
So, just to kick off today's program, I thought I'll commence with a profound Urdu quotation. And then develop from there with some ayat, and hopefully we can formally commence the book that we have intended to do so. The Urdu poet says, Zindagi ka almiya ye nahi hai ke bahut jalli guzar rahi hai. Balki asal almiya ye hai ke hum bahut der se jeena seekhte hai. Zindagi ka almiya ye nahi hai ke bahut tezi ke saath guzar raha hai. The tragedy of life is not that it is passing by so swiftly, excuse me. Balki asal almiya ye hai ke hum jeena bahut der se seekhte hai. But the real tragedy is that unfortunately we learn in to live very late. We learn in to live very late. Wa ataynahu al-hukma sabiyya in the 19th chapter of the Quran in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Yahya alayhi salam, that we had granted him an understanding while he was small. And in the tafsir under this ayah, it is mentioned, of course, he was to become a Nabi, hence he was ma'asum, etc. That as a kid of 4 or 6, some children told him, come, let's go and play. And he said that Allah has not created us for playing and amusement. Imagine a child at that age. Undoubtedly, he was a prophet, he was protected, etc. So it's just that sad that the reality of living correctly is dawning upon us too late. Yet again, someone said in the Urdu language, Zindagi to halki pulki hai, sara bojh to khaiisho ka hota hai. Zindagi to halki pulki si hai. Life is very easy and very manageable. The entire burden is the life of luxury and comfort that we've become accustomed to. And this is what has made our life so complex, so difficult, so challenging. If we were on, you know, living on basics, on common, just average things, without having, you know, made luxuries into necessities, then in situations like this, it wouldn't have been difficult for us. Anyway, today I want to start off with addressing again something pertinent, and that is the aspect and the element of qadr and taqdeer. So in situations like this, the topic of qadr and qada comes up very, very often, and more so in the current climax. And, you know, Allah put it in my mind, and I said, let me just seize the moment and try and expound and elucidate and put some flesh on the theory of qadr and qada. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different verses speaks about the concept of qadr. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ Allah says in Surah Mursalat that we have proportioned, we have calculated, we have estimated, and surely our estimation is the best estimation. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ We've created everything with a measure, with a proportion. So there's a time, there's a period, there's an era, there's a duration, there's a format for everything. And that is what Qadr is all about. Allah has defined your life, your age, your period, your family, etc., etc. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ And we have the treasures of everything. And again, here under this ayah in Bayanul Quran, it's a verse of Surah Al-Hijr in the 14 juz, in the siyaq and sabak, in the context of the ayat that are being discussed here, Allah says we have the treasures of everything. It would refer in the context of the ayah to the treasures of food and drink. Because that is what is preceded by in the discussion. Prior to that, Allah speaks about food and then Allah speaks about drinks. Of course, Allah has absolute power, might. There's no limit and the treasures of Allah are never exhausted and are never depleted. إِنَّ هَذَا لَرِزْقُنَا مَا لَهُ مِن نَفَادٍ So Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ That we send it down in a measure. That's a broad understanding of the word qadr and qada, etc. Now, people ask the question that there are a hadith that say that if you obey your parents and if you are generous, then Allah will grant you an extended life and Allah will grant you barakah in your sustenance. And there are also a hadith, and we know that qada and qadr is something that has been concluded, it's finalized. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, as we say, as it appears in the narration, the pen that had captured the qadr. And many people say that in Surah Al-Qalam, the reference is to the pen of qadr, where Allah swears an oath, نُون وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, that it is the pen that recorded fate and destiny. The pen that recorded fate and destiny. وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, and that which they write. So the pen that wrote has been lifted and the scripture is dry. Everything has been concluded. It's finalized, right? But we also learn from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if there's anything that can change and alter destiny, it is dua. And people ask this question often. So that's one type of a question that I want to address. And then the second is, where does planning, strategy, precaution fit into the equation? If it has been ordained and decreed and predestined, then what is the role of me taking necessary precautions, etc.? So to first answer the aspect of, does dua change taqdeer, and how do we reconcile between the fact that your life has been decreed and concluded, yet the hadith says that if you are obedient to your parents and you spend, then Allah will give you barakah in your life. So there's an apparent inconsistency, and how do we reconcile between the two? There is a verse of the Quran in the 13th juz, in the 13th chapter, verse 39, under this ayah in Ma'riful Quran, there's a great discussion that features, and I want to try and expound on it. So let me first give you a translation of it, you know, academic and simplified. Allah says, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. So, مَحَا يَمْحُ مَحْوَن, basic Arabic means to wipe out, to clean out, to erase, to delete, to obliterate. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ, Allah deletes, Allah wipes out, Allah clears out whatever He wishes. Wa yuthbit, athbata yuthbitu ithbat, and Allah affirms and confirms whatever He wishes. Wa indahu ummul kitab, and the mother of all books, meaning the original book, meaning the lawh mahfuz, the preserved tablet, remains unchanged by Allah. That's a verbatim translation of the ayah. The likes of Sa'id ibn Jubair, who was a great tabi'i rahimahullah and a great mufassir, he has taken this ayah into the context of the discussion of nasakh and mansukh. And that is an academic discussion in the field of tafsir pertaining to the verses of abrogation. So it's a science of the Quran where Allah speaks about in the second chapter of the Quran, in the first juz, Surah Baqarah, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first sent certain rules, then Allah abrogated that and Allah replaced it by new rules. So he takes this ayah in the context that Allah deletes whatever injunction He wants to by virtue of it. I just have a flash now in Surah Al-Ahzab in the 21st juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُولُو النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَّا أَن تَفْعَلُوا إِلَى أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَسْطُورًا. So in this verse of Surah Al-Ahzab, in the 21st chapter, in the 21st juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the inheritance. That initially, in the initial stages of Islam, inheritance was between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. But thereafter Allah said, وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ, your relatives are closer and more deserving, and they enjoy more entitlement to have a share in your inheritance than the Muhajirin, the migrants that have migrated. كان ذلك في الكتاب مسطورا أي مكتوبا, this is written and recorded and captured in the preserved tablet, meaning it's written in the preserved tablet that initially inheritance would be based on the strength of migration, and subsequently it would be based on relation and blood ties. So originally this would be the command, subsequently that would be the command. So the likes of Sa'id ibn Jubair and others, rahimahumullah, they take this ayah in the context of the laws pertaining to abrogation. While the father of tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and others, they say this ayah is connected to qadr, qada, and taqdeer. And under this ayah, they speak about two types of taqdeer. And I know probably there are many elderly folk listening there. I hope I can simplify it. And it's going to help us in our current crisis of the COVID-19 and the corona as well. What's the balance between the two? Where do we draw the line? How much precaution is necessary? How much reliance is necessary? What is the limitations of both? So they refer to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma under this ayah refers to two types of taqdeer. You know, it's mentioned in Ma'arif al-Quran. One is taqdeer mu'allaq and one is taqdeer mubram. So one is the contingent destiny, the conditional destiny, and one is the ultimate and the final destiny. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the malaika a record pertaining to a servant to say that if this servant is obedient to his parents, he will live for 70 years by way of example. If he is generous, he will have so much wealth. And if he is not dutiful and he is not obedient to his parents, he would live for 60 years or 50 years. So this is what is referred to as taqdeer mu'allaq. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. This can be changed by the actions of a person, by the dua of a person. And that is the limited knowledge that has been given to the angel pertaining to an individual. If the servant will obey his parents and is kind and is dutiful and he does, you know, AYZ, does these actions, then this will bring so much goodness in his life. And if he fails to do it, then this will be the consequences. However, by Allah is the ultimate, وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, the mother of all books, the original book, that is in the knowledge of Allah. Allah knows that this servant will be obedient to his parents, hence his life will be 70. And that cannot be changed because in essence, qadr is the knowledge of Allah pertaining to a person. So Allah knows with certainty he will be obedient, hence his life will be 70. So can taqdeer be changed? Yes and no. What can be changed? Mu'allaq, that which is contingent and conditional. Can taqdeer not be changed? Yes, it cannot be changed. Which one? The taqdeer that is mubram, that which is captured in the lower mahfuz, that which is in the knowledge of the Almighty, that can never happen otherwise because the knowledge of Allah is absolutely accurate, is absolutely accurate. Allah says so beautifully in the 27th juz of the Quran, ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. And this is the beauty of our faith. I was once in UK in Manchester, and after I had completed immigration, the immigration officer had taken me aside and he had asked me some questions and some interrogation, the purpose of my travel, the event I'm speaking at, what's the topic, the lineup of speakers, blah, 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 the hotel where I'll be staying, etc. And then he was a lovely gentleman. He was a very, you know, warm individual. He captured the info that I had communicated with him. And I often say to people, in a hostile climate, this is an ideal opportunity for us to present ourselves with respect, honor, decorum, and dignity. And then he said, gentlemen, I'm really enjoying the interview with you. And I said, thank you for the compliment. Appreciate it. He said, we kind of done with the interview. Now I would like to ask you for some counsel and guidance in my personal life. And that is, I've lost a daughter of mine and I just cannot find closure to this. I've been to the bishop, I've been to the priest, I've been to the pontiff. And I ask you as a religious individual, can you advise me? And I said, subhanallah, you know, if you were to ask for a slot with the immigration officer at OR Tambo, leave alone any other European airport, people are going to like back off. You know, who are you and why would we want to entertain it? And what's your motive? But subhanallah, Allah facilitates the situation and it presents. And I seized the moment with great respect. I communicated with him the entire concept and the article of fate and taqdeer. And he was very impressed. He said, you know what? It brings a new perspective to life. So I often say, my brother and my sister, that as much as, because taqdeer is an integral article of faith, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned prior to Qiyamah, there will be people, yukathibun al-qadr, who will deny, right? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had said this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had said this. Who will belie qadr, who will deny qadr, and they'll say there's nothing like qadr and taqdeer and destiny. Whereas Allah categorically, emphatically, explicitly says in the Quran, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدْرٍ, that everything has been created with a measure and has been decreed by the Almighty. So, as much as it's an integral component of our faith, it helps us to move on in life. We can close chapters. We can move on. You go for a session, right, after the loss or the demise or the tragedy of someone, and then you go for 10 sessions, and then after the 15th or the 10th session, they tell you what we will communicate in day one, right? Which was at an elementary level. One of my teachers often would impress upon us that when a child is enrolled at an elementary Islamic institution, we teach him the iman mujmal and iman wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, that good and bad comes from the Almighty. So here's the ayah, reflect over this, and it will give you great solace. It will give you great solace. My aim, my motive is to give the ummah comfort and solace through Quran. Nothing can comfort you more than the words of Allah. I promise you, there's just nothing in the world that can give you more solace, because it's the divine speech of the Almighty. Ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Just look at the universal application. Just look at the umum of the ayah. Ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi wala fi anfusikum. No calamity has struck the earth or has gripped you individually. Illa fi ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi wala fi anfusikum illa fi kitabin min qabli an nabra'aha. But that it was captured, it was documented, it was recorded in the preserved tablet before it occurred. So the coronavirus, the COVID-19, the plague, the pandemic, the epidemic, the crisis, the economic crash, and whatever else, whatever the nature of the tragedy is, it was recorded, pre-recorded. Then Allah says, so beautiful, la ilaha illallah. You know, you got to understand how Allah speaks. Inna dhalika ala Allahi yaseer. This was absolutely easy and simple for Allah. Why? Because He knows everything before it occurs. He knows everything before it occurs. Now, oh my Lord, oh my Allah, what's the wisdom of informing us that everything was pre-recorded? And why did you convey this message to us? Subhanallah. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ مِنَ الْمَالِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. This is what the Mufassirin write. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. The ummah is only in a crisis because we've abandoned the Quran. By Allah, if we come back to the book of Allah, you will be just amazed how Allah answers everything in one ayah. In one ayah, Allah summarizes everything. There's 1,000 theories floating around, and we'll try and touch quickly on the aspect of precaution, because the beauty of this ummah is this deen is very practical and pragmatic. So Allah says, لِكَيْلَا, so that, لِكَيْلَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, so that you do not over-regret your afflictions. I use the word over-regret because this is what the scholars have written. Because we do not exclude the natural regret, which is human. Right? And these are the words, the fawaid al-quyud in the tafasir that's written. So under this in Masail al-Suluk it is written, قُلْتُ هُوَ عَيْنُ مَا يُرْشِدُ إِلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِتَذْكِيرِ الْقَدْرِ لِرَفْعِ الْحُزْنِ. هُوَ عَيْنُ مَا يُرْشِدُ إِلَيْهِ أهل المعرفة بتذكير القدر لرفع الحزن. This is precisely what the scholars, the pious, the learned would do and impress upon their disciple, their students, that at a time of pain and affliction, revive the concept and the article and the belief of qadr and qada and destiny, so that it makes it lighter upon you. So why did we record it and why did we inform you? So that in your life, whenever you contend with any challenge, difficulty, setback or any adversity, لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم. And we also recorded your accomplishment, your goals, your achievements, so that you do not boast your feat. You do not boast your accomplishments. Human joy is within a limit. You know, in Urdu they say, तूफान में कश्तियां और गमंद में हस्तियां दोनों डूब जाया करती है. तूफान में कश्तियां और गमंद में हस्तियां दोनों डूब जाया करती हैं. When the tides are high and the waters are stormy, then vessels sink. And when pride and arrogance engulfs a person, then humans drown. They drown, they fall, empires collapse. Right? So we recorded everything so that you don't over regret your difficulties. You make peace. Well, listen, Allah wrote this for me. وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And you don't become arrogant. You don't become boastful. You don't become, you don't start showing off on your accomplishments. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Ahlul Lugha make a fine distinction. Mukhtal and Fakhur, loosely translated as the boastful and the arrogant. But the Ahlul Lugha, the linguists, tell us that Mukhtal refers to people who generally boast about their internal beauties, while Fakhur refer to people who boast about their external. So it's your intelligence, it's your wisdom, how calculated, how methodical you are, or how beautiful you are, or how smart you are. Allah despises and Allah dislikes anyone and everyone who boasts about it. Then furthermore, the scholars of Tafsir write that boasting is something that you can do if you've achieved it on your independent strength. But if it was written for you and Allah conferred it upon you and it came your way because Allah, what they say in Arabic, إِنَّ الْمَقَادِيرَ إِذَا تَسَاعَدَتْ أَلْحَقَتِ الْعَاجِزَ بِالْقَادِرِ. When fate and destiny is favorable, then the helpless become helpful. You know, sometimes you play in a game and then what you say, no, that's a fluke. Right? In simple, casual slang language, you say that's a fluke. That's not a display of skill. That wasn't a skill. The ball crawled over the net in table tennis. I'm using something because I kind of play it and more so now with the kids. So that's not a skill. Right? That was just luck on your side. That was luck on your side. When fate and qadr is in your favor, you're standing in a queue and you just got to the counter and they say, okay, that's the last person. Subhanallah, that was Allah's doing for you. You were just lucky enough. It's not like you planned it to arrive at 7:30 to be there on time. You didn't know. They just decided to close the shutter and that was the last person and everybody else has to come to the embassy the next day. Okay, time running out. Now, Allah says to us, we learn from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where does planning fit into place? So Islam tells us that take the precautions. So when the flood was coming, and remember the flood, when I'm thinking a lot of the flood now, although our current crisis is not a flood, but it was a global pandemic, right? And that's what many of the scholars say, that the floods was not limited to the location of Nuh alayhi salam, but it was across the world. And you know, everyone, Rabbi anni maghloobun fantasir, Sayyidina Nuh made the dua, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, and it was water right across. So Allah told Sayyidina Nuh to build the ark, to build the ark. Under this ayah in the 12 Jews, again in Bayan al-Quran, the deduction is written that dalla ala anna mubasharat al-asbab al-ma'zoon la yunafi al-tawakkul. That those means which are in conformity with the tenets of the religion and are in conformity with the teachings, they do not violate the principle of reliance on Allah. So floods are coming and Allah is telling the Nabi, build an ark. Allah is sending the floods, and Allah is going to rescue the Nabi, and Allah could rescue the Nabi just as he was standing on his place there without him to have to sail on anything. Allah told him, build the ark. But then in that same narrative and in that same tale, we have that when the floods came, the son said, I will take shelter on the zenith of the mountain. And that ayah then indicates to us, if a person adopts measures contrary to the will of Allah, then in the case of the son of Nuh, Kan'an, it was not only against tawakkul, it was against faith. So when the floods came, the precaution that Allah told you was hop into the ark. Now to take any other precaution was tantamount to disbelief and incorrect and violating the principle of tawakkul and reliance. So the son of Nuh said, I will go on the zenith of the mountain. I'll take amnesty there. قَالَ سَأَوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَا But that was not accepted because Allah did not endorse it. So it's not a blanket ruling that we should take every precaution. We need to analyze and we need to microscopically look at the merits of the precautions in all regards and cases. If it is in teachings with our deen, that in principle, our faith is not averse to the concept of precaution, but then the case of each one needs to be analyzed individually and independently. Yet again, we take the case when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the journey of Hijrah, and then the enemy came to the mouth of the cave, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu naturally had a fear, and that's human. So when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam came into the field and came into the open maidan, and then the magicians dropped their staffs, and it was a kind of spell that they cast on the eyes of people, which the Quran says, Saharu a'yun an-nas fa'awjasa fi nafsihi khifa. He was the Nabi of Allah. He was aided by Allah. He was mu'ayyad. But yet there was like a khatara bi khatiri Musa. There was a thought that just crossed Musa. There was a slight moment of uneasiness. That's natural. That's human. And a Nabi is not exempted from human emotions. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, they year. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا ظَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ بِإِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا O Abu Bakr, what's the panic of those two, the third of whom is Allah? So, you know, be at ease. Having comforted Abu Bakr that Allah is with us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept the strategy active. He didn't exit the cave. He said, listen, Allah is with us, so let's go out. No. He told him, relax. He didn't say, relax, we in the inner part of the cave, relax. They didn't see, relax. He said, no, Allah is with us, nothing to panic. But he did not abandon the plan. He did not abandon the plan. Hence, I say precaution is necessary. The ulama say, the ulama of aqidah say, not to take precaution is ma'asiyat, is an act of sin. And to rely on precaution is kufr. Look at the beauty of our deen, man. Not to take precaution is disobedience. And to rely on precaution is tantamount to disbelief. So our faith is complete. So the Prophet of Allah made Sayyidina Abu Bakr rely on Allah, but he kept the precaution in place. And I think it's vital, it's integral, it's important that we marry the two in balance. We marry the two in balance. And as much as the ulama are advocating the message of the doctors to adhere to precaution, if I could appeal to the Muslim doctors to equally concur with the sentiments of ulama to promote the concept of reliance on Allah, that will be a great harmony. So we are saying that, you know what, follow what the doctors are saying in taking the necessary precautions to curtail, to curb, to flatten the curve, to contain, and the rest of it. And we ask and we implore upon our medical Muslim doctors to equally impress the importance of reliance. So remember that key word, that to abandon precaution is an act of sin, is an act of violation. And to rely on precaution is an act of disbelief because we rely on Allah. I leave you with this last hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We didn't get to start the kitab and I still wanted to say more on Qadr. But anyway, time has lapsed and this is what was meant for today. The hadith of Sahih Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I've used this in many of my counseling sessions where people were gripped by some challenge, difficulty, ordeal, and they've asked me to come home and give some solace and comfort to the family. I always share this hadith as an absolute must in situations of that nature. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقل لو فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان that before something, take all the precautions. Take all the precautions. If we go on this road, this will happen. If we do this, that will happen. If we go by night, it's hazardous. If we go by morning, this is the pros and the cons, the ups and the downs, whatever it is. But when things occur contrary to what you hope, wish, and anticipate, then do not say if. If I didn't marry this person, if I didn't go work with this person here, Mulana Habib is having a chuckle here. You know, often people say different type of things. If only, if only. لا تقول لو. Do not say if. Why? فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحْ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Because the inclusion of the word if, post an unpleasant occurrence, opens up the doors of the devil. And then now you've given him not a niche, you've given him a wide opening. Now he systematically indoctrinates and injects negativity. So prior to something happening, take all the precautions. But after it has happened, contrary to what you were hoping, wishing and planning, then omit the word oh. Because then you're opening up for the devil to, you know what, confuse your mind and create, turbulence on your iman. Overthinking is the biggest cause of depression today in the world. Overthinking. So we conclude on that note of qadr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the correct balance of adopting measures in the current situation and in all regards. And at every moment, in all instances, to have our absolute reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.